It is week 10, and this is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, delivered by Papa John's. Nothing goes better with football than Papa John's pizza. Just like sports, we're all about the best. From our signature all-natural tomato sauce and 100% mozzarella cheese, to our fresh toppings and fresh never-frozen hand-tossed dough. We use the best ingredients to give you better quality pizza. Order yours online today at papajohns.com. And remember, you can earn points towards free pizza and more when you enroll in Papa Rewards. Order, earn, eat, repeat. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's. Also, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is teed up by and at the Eagles Golf Club. Details later in the podcast on the latest charity tournament I am playing in and supporting at the Eagles Golf Club, which will be coming up next Saturday, the Week 11 Saturday of the National Football League season. It's the Stash Clash to benefit Movember and Team Tampa. You know, I couldn't even get on the Eagles Golf Club last Saturday. It was so busy out there. I was just sort of thinking about it and how many people were taking advantage of the new greens on the lakes, the wonderfully maintained and challenging track that is the Forest Course, and how busy it was on the last day before the time change. You can get your tee time by calling the Eagles Golf Club. This golf weather in the greater Tampa Bay area is and has been perfect for 1 month. 813-920-6681. 36 holes of championship golf, wonderfully maintained. If you, like many, gave up on the Eagles Golf Club 4, 5, 6 years ago, trust me, go back. They will win you over. The minute you walk onto the property, you will see the difference. 813-920-6681. The Eagles Golf Club, just north of Tampa Bay Downs. All right, so as we record this week 10 edition of the podcast, we're a little late getting to you for some technical problems, but we can talk about the Thursday night game, predictably a game in which the Baltimore Ravens roll over the Cleveland Browns. Ravens defense almost produced the safety, somewhat surprisingly didn't produce a touchdown from their DST, but still, a couple of picks, 4 sacks. You had the mysterious benching of Cody Kessler at halftime. Yes, Hugh Jackson has already said Kessler remains his starter, but just sort of in typical of Cleveland with the Browns. From a Ravens standpoint, they did put points on the board. Flacco had 3 touchdowns, but Terrence West did not score. Mike Wallace did not score. Dennis Pitta did not score. Steve Smith did get in the end zone. Even the Cleveland Browns touchdown was not Terrell Pryor. It was not Coleman. It was not Crowell. It was one of those fantasy games that is kind of frustrating because most of the best players did not get in the end zone. That was one of the conclusions that I took out of that game last night. I don't think you can spike Joe Flacco going forward. Just the week before, I mean, Dak Prescott threw 3 touchdowns against the Browns, even though none were to Dez Bryant. So I don't take a lot out of it on Flacco. I still think Flacco is one of those guys that you only even consider in a 2-quarterback league. And he's sort of a, you know, during these bye weeks here in the middle of the season, he's a streamer option. I originally picked him up to play him last night in one of my leagues. I chose not to. I'm going to stick with Dak Prescott, even though Prescott is up against Pittsburgh, a much better football team, playing at home. And we'll talk about that in a moment, even though Pittsburgh's pass defense hasn't been very good. All right, let's get into some of the 1 o'clock games for Sunday and give you some thoughts. Let's start with Green Bay at Tennessee. I'm going to start on the Tennessee side of this. Keep an eye on DeMarco Murray's status. I think the vibe we're getting in is he plays. He will have his normal workload, but this might mean more for Marcus Mariota. Andrew Luck was certainly able to move the ball against the Packers last week. Mariota has been a pretty solid fantasy play for a month now after he was labeled the worst quarterback in football for about the first 6 weeks of the season. You might get more out of Mariota this week against the Packers because Murray remains dinged, and they can't go to Derrick Henry behind him. So Mariota, if you have some issues with bye week, for example, if you have David Carr and you're looking for a 1 week streamer, Mariota has given you a lot to look at if he's available just to play this week. From the Green Bay standpoint, Aaron Rodgers has been a much better fantasy quarterback in recent weeks. The return of James Starks, I don't think will change that whatsoever. None of us knew. Well, obviously, the coaching staff of the Packers knew that Ty Montgomery was on a pitch count last week. If you're in a Yahoo league, please notice Montgomery is now listed as both a wide receiver and a running back. CBS leagues, get with it. CBS, get with it. Look at Montgomery's snap totals at running back the last three times he's played as opposed to wide receiver. I am not a fan of the CBS fantasy football website, and this is one of the reasons. For those that are Packer fans, for those that are fantasy owners of Ty Montgomery, we know he gets more snaps at running back than wide receiver, and this has been the case now for a month. But note that on Yahoo, they have also made the change as well. Davante Adams had a down game against the Colts, even though he picked up a late touchdown as Rodgers was trying to rally the Packers. Jordy Nelson is a top 10 wide receiver play this week. Randall Cobb is a shaky play, and you want to keep an eye on his status through the weekend. But no, I don't expect big things from James Starks. I think that's a desperation plug and play this week in season-long leagues or in daily. Denver, New Orleans. Yes, as a Michael Crabtree owner, I saw what Denver, again, can do to opposing wide receivers. The thing about Denver is they are giving up a lot of points to opposing running backs. This is a defense that, I mean, it might be a combination of two things. One, you're not going to have a ton of success throwing the ball in Denver. And two, you can have more success running the ball. And that is leading more and more to fantasy running backs against the Broncos putting up points. I mean, you can't expect Mark Ingram or Tim Hightower to have a Latavius Murray-type game. But they are decent plays. And it looks like it will, as unpredictable as Sean Payton is and how they spread the wealth there in New Orleans, if you own Hightower or you own Ingram, you probably play them this week, unless you have clearly two to three other better options elsewhere, like David Johnson or just off the top of my head, trying Melvin Gordon as two examples. Also from the Saints standpoint, Michael Thomas's rise in that offense continues. Two touchdown game against the Niners. I know Patrick Doherty basically has Thomas neck and neck with a Brandon Cooks this week in his positional rankings. They're way down there, though, because of the Broncos. You can look inside the analytics a little bit and see that it might be a better play this week for Thomas over Cooks just because of where he runs a lot of his routes. But it's still, you're going up against the pass defense of the Denver Broncos. I mean, it's strength versus strength. Breeze is awesome at the Superdome. The Broncos are awesome at pass defense wherever they play. So it's up to you. You make the call here. I own Michael Thomas in two leagues. At this point, he is in my lineup in both. And as far as Denver is concerned, I have a lot of concerns about Devontae Booker, that he is Denver's version of Charles Sims. That once Charles Sims became a number one in Tampa Bay, he couldn't handle the workload, and suddenly, next thing you know, he's hurt and he's done for the year. I'm not saying that Booker's going to get hurt, although his shoulder was dinged a couple of weeks ago, but he hasn't done a lot with the number one job. And Gary Kubiak designs a lot of offense for his running backs. But Booker has been a disappointment. I don't know if I'm going to play him in one of my season-long leagues. I picked up Bibbs. I don't know if I'll play Bibbs over him, but I have both. this week might provide some clarity. Let's face it. If you can't run the ball against the Saints, you can't run the ball in this league. If Booker flops this week and Bibbs has another big play or two or some sustained success, you may see Bibbs take over the majority of reps for the Broncos starting next week and going forward. Obviously, in this game, if you have Thomas and if you have Sanders, they are strong plays. If you're looking for a streaming quarterback and Mariota is not available, Simeon might not be a bad choice. Los Angeles Rams at New York Jets, as far as the Rams are concerned, as it relates to Todd Gurley, I mean, we're at week 10 now, and you haven't gotten anything, for the most part, that you thought you would get out of Todd Gurley. I don't know that that changes, especially considering, you know, the Jets are a team that you attack via the air. Even though you attack them via the air, Tavon Austin, to me, just, I've never owned him. I don't see any reason to own him. He bubbles up with a big game about once every what? Month to month and a half. So about as often as you clip your toenails, Tavon Austin has a game that's worthwhile. To me, that's not worthwhile for a roster spot unless you're in a 14 or 16 team league and you are just so desperate to have guys that are on the field. From the Jets standpoint, Forte has been rock solid for a while. There's a little flaw in Brandon Marshall in the sense that he's getting the red zone targets, but he's not hauling them in. Some of that is the inaccuracy of Fitzpatrick. Some of it is the fact that so much coverage can concentrate on Marshall because Eric Decker is not in there. In this game, I think clearly, you know, Forte is the must play. And you hope for the best against what can be a stingy Rams defense. But from a fantasy standpoint, this looks like kind of a stinker game, much like the Rams in Carolina was a stinker game last week with not a lot of points being scored. Atlanta and Philadelphia, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones lit up the Buccaneers last week. Philadelphia's defense is better, but it's not very good. Falcons seem like must plays across the board, whether it's Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu's been targeted a lot and productive three of the last 4 weeks. I don't know about Gabriel, if I would invest in him this week. If you're looking for a real bargain in daily and you love the rest of your lineup, okay, maybe. Because he will get a few balls thrown his way, and he could get you in the end zone, but he's sort of one of those touchdown or bust options for Atlanta behind Sanu. From the Eagles' standpoint, they seem focused on getting the ball more to Jordan Matthews, but Carson Wentz just really isn't throwing the ball down the field. The backfield situation is one to avoid, even though Sproles is clearly the number one guy. By the way, a main reason Sproles is the number one guy has nothing to do with what he can do when he touches the ball. We all know he's an exciting player in space. Sproles actually blocks for Wentz. He's a very good pass. I know he's a smaller guy, but that's why Sproles, other than Ryan Matthews fumbles and Wendell Smallwood's inexperience, Sproles actually pass blocks. And that's significant when you've got a rookie franchise quarterback. Chicago and Tampa Bay, because the Bucs defense is and has been so bad, you've got real spikes off last week's Chicago win over Minnesota for people looking at Jay Cutler, Alshon Jeffrey, and also Jordan Howard coming off that monster game in that Monday night win against the Vikings. I use a little caution here. It's not that I think the Bucs defense will suddenly have their best game of the year, but I think the Bears are still the Bears. And just because for one game and since Minnesota came off the bye, the Vikings looked like a different team, a very bad team, a very limited team. I want to buy it more going forward, and I'm a Jordan Howard owner. So use caution there. I'm not saying bench Howard, bench Jeffrey, or don't stream Cutler. just have reasonable expectations of them against the Buccaneers. It is a good spot to play them. Patrick Daugherty has Howard, I think, as RB12. He has Jeffrey in the top 10. Cutler's a nice week, a nice streamer if he happens to be available. From the Buccaneers standpoint, at this point, I mean, I'd rather play Cutler than Jameis this week. At least Jameis is healthy off that hit he took late in the game last Thursday against the Falcons. You're going to have to check status all weekend on Doug Martin. Don't hold out hope on Jacquizz Rodgers playing, because he probably will not. I own Cameron Brate. I've gotten kind of two garbage touchdowns in 2 weeks. He might get another one this week. I'm not counting on it against the Bears. But you know, Mike Evans is targeted as much as any receiver in the National Football League. So no matter what, you keep playing him. Speaking of the Minnesota Vikings, they are at Washington. Other than Stephon Diggs, I don't know that you play any Viking. If you have Rudolph and no other option, I guess you play him. Everything else is just avoidable in Minnesota. From a Redskin standpoint, Cousins is one of those quarterbacks who has the clear home road splits. He will produce more at home than he will on the road. It looks like DeSean Jackson is out. That raises the value of Jordan Reed. It raises the possibility of a Crowder game for Washington. It makes a bargain in Pierre Garçon and DFS a little bit more appealing. And also note, Jay Gruden identified that Rob Kelly is going to get the first and second down work this week. Thompson will get the passing down work. Matt Jones has fumbled too much and is dealing with the Ryan Matthews syndrome. Kansas City, Carolina, Alex Smith returns. Spencer Ware returns. Jeremy Maclin, let's see here. The main thing from this game is two things if you haven't noticed. Carolina's defense has really been reinvigorated and is playing like the defense we expected just the last couple of weeks. The sack totals are up. Opponents' points are down. If someone in your league gave up on them or you stopped buying them in daily, they're worth considering again. Kansas City shuts down opposing tight ends better than any team in the NFL. This is a very tough matchup for Greg Olsen. I know you probably don't look as closely at tight ends and do I or don't I, and you're like, well, I just play Greg Olsen. I'm just saying, this is a very tough spot for him. This looks like more of a Jonathan Stewart or Kelvin Benjamin or even Ted Ginn type game if Carolina is going to win than Greg Olsen. Let's pause here for another word on the Eagles Golf Club. I mentioned the next charity tournament that I'm participating in and supporting will be at the Eagles Golf Club. It's the Stash Clash in honor of Movember. To raise awareness of prostate cancer and other male cancer initiatives. Team Tampa is behind this, and it is Saturday, November 19th on the Forest Course. It is an 8:30 a.m. shotgun. I played in this event last year. It is a very, very good time. Your entry fee of $75 per player, $300 per team, includes all your golf fees. There's a lot of prizes. There's lunch following play. There's various stations throughout the golf course offering liquid perks and otherwise. It's a really good event. You can reach out to the wonderful Courtney Fox at the Eagles Golf Club to sign up. And again, for these tournaments, you don't need four people. If just you and a buddy want to sign up as a twosome, they'll find another twosome to play with you. They'll pair you up. Don't be put off by, well, it's tough to get a foursome together. Everybody knows that. I run tournaments. I pair people up. This is a fun tournament. And for $75 a player, knowing your money is going to the Movember cause, I highly recommend it. I will be out there that Saturday. I'd love for someone to come up and say, hey, I listened to the podcast. Thanks for telling me to come play in the tournament. Reach out to Courtney Fox at the Eagles Golf Club, 813-920-6681. 813-920-6681. The Eagles Golf Club is just north of Tampa Bay Downs. The Stash Clash to benefit Movember and male prostate cancer awareness via Team Tampa. Saturday, November 19th, 8:30 a.m. shotgun start. All right, fantasy-wise, we left off with Houston at Jacksonville. Let's see what Brock Osweiler's got off the break. He has been no better than a bottom-half fantasy quarterback in terms of the overall rankings every week this year. He's going up against a Jacksonville defense that will test him, even though the Jaguars overall are a lousy football team. Lamar Miller, that's another check status. He should be able to go. Will he handle 100% of the snaps? Probably not, even though he's coming off the bye. And it is owner beware with the struggling DeAndre Hopkins, who has made a lot of bad quarterbacks look good, and he hasn't been able to make Brock Osweiler look good. Or a very talented guy in Will Fuller, who's been dealing with a lot of injuries since the first few weeks of the season. From a Jacksonville standpoint, Chris Ivory finally had a big game, but then he had a key fumble near the goal line. I wouldn't chase points with Chris Ivory. I own Allen Robinson. The targets are up. There is a change in offensive coordinator. I'm not playing Allen Robinson this week. I don't want to lose games because of a Jacksonville Jaguar. That's shame on me. So I need to see more from Robinson before I put him into the starting lineup. All right, let's move on to the 4 o'clock games. Dallas at Pittsburgh. I wouldn't worry about Dak Prescott against the Steelers just because their pass defense has been weak most of the year. This could be tougher sledding for Ezekiel Elliott, but Elliott, much like David Johnson, seems matchup-proof. And while this traditionally looks like it just has that feel, Dallas, Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's been the better team for better franchise for the last 15 years. Dallas is the better team right now. Pittsburgh is at home. Roethlisberger has had another week of practice. The Steelers should look better than they looked a week ago in an always bad matchup for Ben Roethlisberger against the Baltimore Ravens. I don't think this is a walkover for the Cowboys, but I don't think there's any reason why you bench stars fantasy-wise like Prescott, Elliott. Dez did not produce against Cleveland. He should produce against Pittsburgh. Don't expect another 100-yard game from Jason Witten. That's a rarity. Cole Beasley's been pretty consistent. That's been a decent DFS buy all season long. And especially in recent weeks. From a Pittsburgh standpoint, one of the problems when you play Dallas, you don't get a lot of offensive snaps. That's something you have to take into account in fantasy. Like Arizona snaps the ball a lot on offense. New Orleans snaps the ball a lot on offense. When you play the Cowboys, you don't have the ball that much. I'm a Le'Veon Bell owner in two leagues. I didn't get anything out of him last week. I'm not sure what I'm going to get this week. I may bench him in one league and start him in the other. Because if Dallas puts points on the board, I just wonder if this will be a couple of off weeks for Le'Veon Bell. I'm not giving up on the guy. He's still one of the best backs in the NFL and the best backs in fantasy. But Pittsburgh might not have a lot of offensive snaps here. So just bear all that in mind from a Steelers standpoint. I'm not saying bench all your Steelers and play all your Cowboys, but there's a lot of things you got to look deeper than just the surface of Dallas versus Pittsburgh and make automatic judgments. Other 4 o'clock games, hold on here. Miami at San Diego. Dolphins got a huge game from their DST last week thanks to the Drake kickoff return. San Diego had a high-scoring game against Tennessee. The Dolphins actually don't want this to be a high-scoring game. The Dolphins seem to be, I'm not saying they're becoming Titan-like, but they know ride Jay Ajayi as much as you can. And Landry is banged up at the wide receiver position. And we've noticed the change in Ryan Tannehill, how he's more of a game manager since these Ajayi games. So two of your better running back plays are in this game, in Ajayi and Melvin Gordon, who just continues to produce week after week after week. From the Chargers standpoint, you got to look beyond Travis Benjamin, and I hope you have been, for a wide receiver play here. Antonio Gates is definitely a play here, and I see no reason not to play Phillip Rivers here if you own him. San Francisco and Arizona, just said Arizona snaps the ball. I think Arizona's number one and the Saints are number two in offensive snaps per game on average. For the Niners, a lot depends on the status of Carlos Hyde. It's a check status going into Sunday. You hate that with a 4 o'clock game. Hopefully those of you that own Carlos Hyde, unless you're playing me in a league, will know something before 1 o'clock on Sunday. From the Arizona standpoint, you are go, go, go on, as you are every week, on David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, and know that the wide receiver pecking order in Arizona these days is John Brown 2 and J.J. Nelson 3 behind Larry Fitzgerald. Sunday night game, Seattle, New England. No hesitation whatsoever on Tom Brady, on Gronk, on Edelman, as it relates to on LeGarrette Blount, just because, again, they're playing Seattle. Buffalo had success moving the ball and competing with Seattle. This is a bit of a payback game for Tom Brady and the Patriots franchise. It's in a high-profile spot on Sunday Night Football. You know, do you go as far as, well, is this a game where I want to play a Chris Hogan? Maybe. Maybe. There's no guarantees on that. Oh, and the Deion Lewis thing. Deion Lewis might play a little in this game. It'll sort of tell us what his status might be going forward, but tough to predict. I don't think because Deion Lewis is available, it should hedge you on LeGarrette Blount. I don't think it changes much as it relates to Blount. But just because it's Seattle and Richard Sherman and Bobby Wagner, no, you don't consider other options at quarterback, tight end for New England or from the LeGarrette Blount standpoint. From a Seattle standpoint, you don't reconsider there either, although, especially this year, Bill Belichick and his defensive staff have been very good at controlling the opposing team's number one threat. Right now, that's Jimmy Graham. I'd still play Jimmy Graham in this game, but know that that's probably what New England is going to try to take away from Russell Wilson. So Russell Wilson might have to go to Doug Baldwin. And if you're a Kristen Michael owner, at this point, I don't think you play him. I wouldn't plug in CJ, although he's getting more of the snaps. You need to see more to see that they're actually going to get him the ball and what he can do with it. But Russell Wilson's probably a play in this game, unless you have a clearly better option. It's not like Russell Wilson is going to have I can predict a lousy game against New England. I would expect Seattle will score some points in this game. I think New England will just score more points in this game against Seattle. All right, and the last game, Monday night, Cincinnati and the New York Giants. This one's odd. First of all, it's a home game. Odell Beckham Jr. has given owners something to a lot in recent home games. Eli is off a 4-touchdown performance. The Giants cannot run the ball. And I'm not sure why they even try at this point. Rashad Jennings, not worth it. Paul Perkins, not worth it. Orleans Darkwa, not worth it. As messy as some running back situations are in the NFL, this one might be the worst. Just off the top of my head, I can't think of another team right now where you get less by owning any running back wearing that team's jersey than the New York Giants. But if you have Beckham, you play him. Eli's had some better weeks, especially at home, after a horrible start. Will Tye is now the starting tight end if you're looking for a tight end streamer. Sterling Shepard's been Check status on Victor Cruz. On the Cincinnati side, this is probably not a huge game for AJ Green, but I doubt it's one of those 2 to 3 catches for 38 yards type game either. Tyler Eifert is back. That helps the Bengals. With Eifert returning, Gio Bernard snaps are down. Jeremy Hill's usage and production is up. Tyler Boyd may be a sneaky play in this game. More so than Brandon LaFell. So that's what I can give you on the Monday night game. Hey, remember that the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is delivered by Papa John's, and nothing goes better with football than Papa John's pizza. Just like sports, we're all about the best. From our signature all-natural tomato sauce and 100% mozzarella cheese, to our fresh toppings and fresh, never-frozen, hand-tossed dough. We use the best ingredients to give you better quality pizza. Order yours online today at papajohns.com. And remember, you can earn points towards free pizza and more when you enroll in Papa Rewards. Order, earn, eat, repeat. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. And remember to listen to me every Thursday on 620 WDAE and 620WDAE.com, starting at 4 o'clock with my longtime colleague and friend, Big Dog Steve Dooming. We talk fantasy and more. 4 o'clock, 4 to 5 Eastern Time, every Thursday on 620 WDAE and 620WDAE.com. And visit my golf page at joebucksfan.com/golf. You'll see some details on the Stash Clash there. And more details coming on my pre-Super Bowl tournament in late January, which will also be at the Eagles Golf Club. That'll be on that page shortly. Save the date, Sunday, January 29th. Good luck in Week 10. This is the beginning of your 4-week push to make sure you get into your fantasy playoffs. Start it with a win this weekend. Set your own lineups. I am just a second opinion. Much like you will not make a decision for me on who I start, who I cut, I do not make decisions for you. I'm just offering you another voice and hopefully some information that will help you make those decisions. Thanks again for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast on joebucksfan.com and iTunes.